Hope you've got your handout sheets for our lesson. And we are in 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And let's just look at a few verses this morning from verses 7 to 9. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 7 to 9. And I'm looking in my Bible, and chapter 5 is the last chapter, so we're getting there. And there's many more wonderful truths here in the Word of God to help us to live in victory, to help us to be strong in our faith. 1 Peter chapter number 4, and look with me at verses 7 to 9, and then we'll pray. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we thank you for the help that we can receive from you. Lord, thank you that we can grow in our Christian lives and we can learn more about your truth, about the Christian life, about the way that you would have us to live, so that we can enjoy the blessedness and the hope and the Lord, the victory over Lord, the circumstances of this world and the challenges in this world. Lord, help us, we pray, through your holy word this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Now, as we begin this morning's lesson, there's an important statement there in verse number 8. Can you see that first part of the verse? Notice what God says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. He says what? And above all things. And above all things. Now, isn't it interesting that God has priorities? He sets some things above other things. Now, life is all a whole bunch of priorities, isn't it? Some things are more important in priority than other things. And each of us, you know, we almost like someone that's juggling, you know, juggling priorities. Sometimes they are all the same weight and we have to juggle them around, and sometimes we have to wear many hats. But, you know, God has priorities as well. Because here we see, he says, above all things. You see, there are some good things in life, and then there are some better things in life. You know, it's nice to have a good meal. We all enjoy a good, tasty, delicious meal. We all have different favorite foods. There are good things in life, and then there are better things in life. You know, a newborn baby, amen? A grandchild. You know, we can't compare a newborn, the gift of a life, the gift of a child, to a good meal. Amen? There are some good things and there are some better things. And that's the same in the Christian life. God says here in his word that there is one thing that makes the difference in our spiritual lives, indeed in our families, in our church life, in our relationships. And this one thing is above all things. Well, what is it? What does God say in verse 8? Above all things have, what does he say? Fervent charity. That's right. Love. You know, the word charity means love. When you think of doing something that is an act of charity to someone, what are you doing? You're expressing to them an act of love. And in the Bible, literally, the word charity is the same as the word love. That's what God is talking about. He's saying, above all things, have fervent charity. Now, God isn't just saying, I want you to love one another as Christians. He's saying, I want you to do it fervently. Wow, that's even more of a challenge. He's saying, I want you to do it fervently, passionately. The word fervent, if you can imagine it, means boiling. Literally means enduring, but when there is something that is boiling, it's a fervent heat, and that's the word that God tells us. That's what he uses to describe our love as Christians. So we're in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 8. For those of you who just arrived, 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 8, welcome, welcome. Now, This is what God says we need to work on above all things. Love. Charity. God says we are to have love in our hearts, one for another, above all things. Now, I wonder if Peter knew this truth more than anyone else. I wonder, as he was writing this letter, whether he remembered what the Lord challenged him with when he went back fishing. Do you remember what Peter did at the end of the book of John? How he went back fishing and the Lord rebuked him. And as they were sitting on the shore near the Sea of Galilee, what did the Lord say? He said, well, let's have a look in your notes. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? There's the word charity, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? So the Lord said to Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? And then he said, yes, Lord, I love you. And then he said to Peter, feed my sheep. You see, the Lord was teaching Peter something very simple. If you love me, the Lord Jesus was saying, then everything else will come out. Amen. You'll be able to love others. You'll be able to serve me. You know, someone that loves the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need to be told to serve him. Amen. Amen. You see, our desire to be a blessing to others, to serve the Lord, to love one another, always comes from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of his love for us that we can love one another. It's because of his salvation towards us that we can forgive one another. If we love Christ, we will love what he loves. But at the same time, if we're not right with the Lord, then we can't be right with others either. If we're not right with the Lord. Our desire to love others grows out of a love for us. So that's just a little introduction. Above all things. That's a powerful statement. Above all things. So let's look this morning at being strong in charity, in love. Why is it a priority in the Christian life? Well, there in your notes, your first blank is, love proves. The word proves is the first blank. Love proves. Well, what does it prove? What does it prove? John 13, there in your notes. Why don't we read these verses out loud together? John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. On two. One, two. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So here we see in the Word of God that love proves something. If we as Christians love one another as we ought to, it will prove something to those around us. What will it prove? What does love prove? The Bible says that our love towards one another will prove that we are the Lord's disciples. Amen? To an unsaved world, people will know we are Christians by our love, one for another. Remember, the Lord said above all things. This is important, amen. And yet so often we neglect this issue of our love. Well, where is our heart this morning? What is our relationship like with other Christians in the church? Charity. Love. You know, many times in our Christian lives, We think we are Christians by, what we say and what we wear. And maybe we carry a big black Bible around with our, around under our arm. And we think, okay, people will know I'm a Christian because I got a Bible in my hand. Or ladies, in your handbag. And you know what the Lord is saying here in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 8? He's saying that the garment, the evidence of your salvation is displayed in your love. Our love for one another proves that we are the Lord's disciples. There in your notes, love proves something. Amen? And that's very important. In fact, that's a powerful statement. Now notice verse number 7 that we already read. Peter challenges these believers, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We're reminded this morning that we live in an unloving world. We live in a world where the Lord said, men shall be lovers of themselves. This is the character of the last days. And don't we live in those days? Is that true? Where everyone just thinks of themselves first and everyone is just out to please themselves and that's number one. And every popular rock song today focuses on that anthem, that philosophy of the last days. You know, it's my life and I'll do what I please and I'll do what I want. I am the best, etc., etc. And you know, at the end of the day, we need to realize as Christians, God wants us to shine as a light. He wants us to show a difference. You see, the Bible says that the love of many shall wax cold. That's the day in which we live. And God says to the church this morning, to Christians, I want you to be different. I want you to have fervent charity one to another. I want you to have a love one for another that the world will see and that will prove that you are my disciples. And let me say this in line with our theme of the last days, that the time is at hand. You know, these large mega churches, they are filled sometimes with thousands of people. But you know what's missing? You know what's missing in those churches? The close personal relationship between God's people, between those people. You know, more and more I hear from people who have left big churches like that. They say, look, I didn't know anyone there. I was just part of the massive crowd. I went in and I came out. And you know, you might see lots of numbers in big churches, but so often you don't notice that there are lots of people going in and there are lots of people going out. It's just a continual flow of masses. But God's purpose for the local New Testament church is that we know each other, that we love one another, that we encourage one another, and that we forgive one another. Amen? Have fervent charity. Not just charity. Fervent charity. And if we have that kind of love for one another, the world will notice. The world will notice. Let me say this. Fervent charity, loving one another, doesn't come naturally. Amen? In fact, it's against our sinful nature to love one another. The sinful nature is still the same as before you were saved and wants you to look out for your own, and whatever you feel, go with it. But you see, love is not a feeling. Feelings will follow, but love is an action of the will. I believe that's why it's translated as the word charity, because it's an act of charity, a display of love. So we need to work on it. That's what God says in His Word this morning, doesn't He? You need to work on it. I need to work on it. We all need to work on loving others more as Christ loves us. Amen. That's how God wants His church to live in these last days. Love proves, Roman numeral number one. Then notice secondly, here's the action of our love. Love covers. Love covers. That's your next blank, the word covers. Now if you miss any blanks, they're on the back page at the bottom. Just in case. Roman numeral number two, love covers. Well, notice verse 8. Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall what? What does the Bible say? Cover. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, who is Peter speaking to again? He's speaking to Christians. Well, you know what that simply means to us this morning? Does that mean that Christians are perfect? No. Does that mean that Christians, that you and I, will never do anything wrong? And in fact, we'll never offend one another or never say anything we shouldn't say, and we will never be hurtful to one another. No, in fact, the Bible says charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You see, at the end of the day, who makes up a church? People. And my friend, people, us, are sinners. We are sinners. We are sinners saved by the grace of God alone. And the Bible tells us that love covers. Love covers. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Love not only proves that we are Christians, but it proves when we exercise Christ's love, it proves that we understand what Christ's love is like. My friend, if you're saved here this morning, Christ does not hold a grudge against you. Amen. You are under no condemnation in Christ Jesus. When you were saved, the Lord Jesus Christ forgave you your sins once and for all. Not only your present sins, but your past and your future sins. The Bible says we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are made righteous in the sight of God through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He forgave us. He forgave us forever. Our sins are under the blood. Now, Christ does not forget what we have done, but he chooses to do something much greater. He chooses to exercise the love of God, which is what? He chooses to remember those sins against us no longer. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. My friends, that is the greatness of the love of God. And friends, that's something that you and I need to work on once we get saved. Because Christ doesn't just say, "Oh, I want you to love one another like you used to love before you were saved." No, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. How many of you think this morning that's quite a challenge? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. I mean, what's our first reaction when someone hurts us? It's to hurt them back. I mean, that's how I lived for 25 years before I was saved. When someone hurt me, well, look out. Even though I didn't do anything, in my mind, I was committing murder. In my anger, that's what the Lord says. If you are angry with your brother, you are committing murder in your own heart already towards them. Anger, revenge, dreams of revenge, how you're going to get back at them. And if I had my way, if I was a superhero, this is how I would get back at them, you know. That is not how God wants us to live the Christian life. Now that we are saved, you see, love covers a multitude of sins. God says we are to have the same heart of forgiveness to one another, to desire to cover. There in your notes, notice the connection between verse number 8 and Proverbs 10, verse 12. What does the Bible say in your notes? Hatred stirreth up strife. Not love. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Now, what is God saying in these two verses we've been looking at? Covering sin. Now, God is not saying that when someone does wrong, we are to overlook it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that love covers sin. Our desire should be not to make the situation worse. Don't seek revenge. That's what God is saying. Love covers sin. Our desire should be to reconcile the relationship with that Christian, not to gossip about them, not to slander them behind their back, not to go to another Christian and say, "Hey, did you hear what that guy did to me in church last Sunday? Do you know what they did to me?" See, love covereth the multitude of sin. You see, hatred stirreth up strife. You know, when we seek to get revenge, when we are gossiping to others, when we are angry and we don't want to forgive, what does that reveal? It reveals a heart of hatred. That's what the Bible says, not love. So we need to be very careful with our feelings. When we are hurt, we need to ask the hard question, well, how does the Lord want me to respond in this situation? How did the Lord love me? How has he shown me his love? And I need to stop for a moment. And oftentimes as a man, amen, take a deep breath and swallow and maybe hold on to it for a couple of days. And then think about and spend time in the Word of God. Lord, how do you want me to respond in this situation? Because in the church, among God's people, God's priority is not division. It is forgiveness. Amen. That's his priority. Reconciliation, forgiveness, love. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Love wants to cover, wants to hide sin, not spread it. When someone says sorry, that means God expects us to forgive them. When someone asks for our forgiveness, God says, I want you to love them as I have loved you. I want you to show forgiveness and exercise this love among yourselves, because it proves that we are His children. And it proves love covers the multitude of sin. If you will, it stops that sin from spreading, and it stops Satan from creating a wedge among Christians and in the church. Covers. As we think about this idea of covering, as I was studying these verses, one example was given, and I'll share it with you this morning. It's a good one. You know, the example of Noah. Do you remember Noah was a man that was greatly used of God, but he was also just a sinner like you and I, amen? Do you remember what Noah did at the end of his story in the book of Genesis? What happened? Noah got drunk. That's right. Amen. Noah got drunk. Now, do you remember when his sons found out what he had done? Remember, Noah not only got drunk, but he shamefully exposed himself. He shamefully exposed himself, and Ham came in and saw his father's nakedness, and then he went out and told the rest of the family. Now, what did the next two sons do when they came in? What did they choose to do? They covered him. Isn't that a good example of love covering the multitude of sin? Their heart's desire was not to expose Noah's sin and not to tell everyone else. Their desire was to cover it, was to cover the shame of their father, was to cover his sin. And that's an example of love covering a multitude of sin. Simply put, what does all this mean? Well, love treats others kindly. You might say, Pastor, they don't deserve to be treated kindly, even if they're saying sorry. Well, that's the same with you and I, my friend. We don't deserve to be forgiven, even when we come to the Lord for salvation. And we repent. Amen? Our salvation is given to us because of Christ's love. For God so loved the world, amen, that He gave His only begotten Son. We don't deserve His forgiveness. But He forgives us anyway because of His love. Because of His love. Love treats people kindly and with compassion. It covers. It covers. Notice Roman numeral number 3. Love forgives. Love forgives. When we speak about covering, we're really speaking about forgiveness on the second page. Love forgives. And when we think of this issue of forgiveness, we need to remember that God's forgiveness is very different from our own. It's very different from our own idea of forgiveness. Have you ever had someone apologize to you and you told them you forgive them, and yet you still in your heart was angry towards them? Yeah. And still in your heart and mind you wanted to exact revenge or find a way to pay them back. Maybe you thought to yourself, well, I'm just not going to invite them over to my place anymore. You know, I forgive them, but look, they're not welcome at my house. You know, I'll get even that way. Or I'll get even by not talking to them anymore. I'll say I'm sorry, but hey, that's the last thing I'm ever going to say to their face. You know, God's idea of forgiveness is much different than our own, isn't it? Sometimes we distance ourselves from others, and you think to yourself, well, if I've really forgiven them as God wanted me to, then why am I avoiding them? Why have I distanced myself from them? They've said sorry, they've repented, and I've forgiven them. And we need to ask the hard question, well, maybe our forgiveness is not what it ought to be. Maybe we've got the wrong idea of what fervent charity is. Fervent love, because forgiveness gives up all ideas to get even. And an unforgiving spirit in the church, in our families, destroys our relationships, doesn't it? Absolutely. If you are in a marriage, let me guarantee you, unforgiveness will destroy that marriage relationship. Unforgiveness will destroy relationships in the church. And you know how it goes when you're arguing with someone and you bring up something they did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago that they've already apologized for and you've forgiven them for, but you've dug up that dirt. Is that forgiveness? No, it's not. Because forgiveness means not holding that wrong against them any longer, as if they never wronged you to begin with. Now, that's the love of the Lord. Wow. And that's what he says we need to work on. I say the word work again because it doesn't come naturally. The more you exercise the love of Christ, the more you will grow in this area. The less we do, the less we will grow in this area of Christian love. You know, unforgiveness can happen in a church. Let me guarantee you, just because this is a church, just like any other church, like my ascending church, there are people that are no longer here today because they had disagreements with others in the church and they don't want to come. They don't want to come because of relationship problems. And God's plan is to strive together. Amen? Strive together. Now, when it comes to doctrinal differences, well, that's a different issue. God is talking about relationships among his people, among the brethren. Have fervent love one to another. We need to forgive people. When people sin, there must be repentance and then forgiveness and restoration. When we sin, what do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins. Imagine if we said sorry to the Lord and the Lord said, a half-hearted, I forgive you, but I'm still holding it against you for the rest of your life. Wow. Imagine that. The Lord doesn't do that. He cleanses us as Christians from all unrighteousness. That distance that we experience when we sin from God is immediately it is immediately gone when we come to the Lord to confess the sins that are distancing us from God. Amen? Our relationship is close once again. Our relationship is sweet once again. And that's what the Lord wants for us in the local New Testament church. Amen? A fervent, charitable love. And let me tell you what, when we exercise that love in the church, God's blessing will be more so upon the church. God's ability to use his people will be greater. God's joy will be more evident to the unsaved world. Amen? And let me say again, there's nothing greater in the world today than an unsaved person walking into a church and seeing a difference. Wow, I've walked into a church before full of thousands of people and not one person said hello. Some people say that today. What they did instead, they passed round the FPOS machine and they wanted me to swipe my credit card. That's what they were passionate about. That's what they were fervent about. They were fervent about their rock music. They were fervent about their charismatic gifts, but they weren't fervent about giving me a handshake and asking me who I am and loving me even as an unsaved person. See, when we exercise love among ourselves, we will love the unsaved more. We have a greater testimony. You see, in the church, God wants us to show a difference. He wants us to be a difference. You know, Peter was writing to people that were being severely persecuted for their faith. And God said, look, there are people that hate you all around. Don't let that hate into the church. Amen? They might blame you for the fires in Rome, as Nero accused the Christians of. And yet, though they were innocent, God said, I don't want you to let that hatred, I don't want you to let that anger into the church. Among yourselves, you ought to have a different love. A fervent charity. A fervent charity. We must forgive people. Now, by the way, how often should we forgive? Well, remember who asked that same question? Who was it? Peter. Peter, who's writing the book of 1 Peter. Peter asked. Now, what did Peter say to the Lord? Remember, before the Lord gave an answer, Peter gave an answer. How many times did Peter say? Seven. That's what Peter said, Lord, shall I forgive him? Seven times? Now, Peter thought he was something special because in the Jewish culture, those of you who have been with us in the parable study on Wednesday nights, we looked at that a few weeks ago. You know, in the Jewish culture, if someone offended you or did wrong towards you, it was expected you would forgive them once. Now, if you wrong them again, well, it's not right that you should forgive them, but you forgive them anyway. But if they wronged you the third time, forget about it. They're cut off, see you later, no more. That's the Jewish culture. And by the way, I wonder if that's our culture today. Sometimes it's if you wrong me once, see you later. But you see, what did the Lord say? He said to Peter, I want you to forgive till 70 times 7. 70 times 7. And in a nutshell, the Lord was saying, don't get your calculator out and try and work out how often to forgive. He said, I want you to keep on forgiving. That's what he said. That's the principle of the Lord's teaching in the parable. Well, there's a parable to follow. He was saying, the Lord was saying to Peter, keep on forgiving. And as Peter writes this letter here, he says, I want you to exercise fervent charity above all things. Keep on forgiving, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Verse 18, look with me again. The multitude of sin, or what does the word say? Sins. Plural. Okay, we don't need to dig too deep this morning because it's Sunday morning, Sunday school. Sins. Plural. What does that mean? Does that not mean that in church, among Christians, there will be more than once that someone will offend us? Does that not mean possibly that there will be more than once that we might offend others? That we might do something or say something or act in a certain way that would wrong another Christian? Yes, absolutely. That's the reality of the Christian life. Christian, don't be so sensitive when you're hurt. Remember, God is in control. It may just very well be the opportunity God is allowing to exercise Christ-like forgiveness. Amen? To grow in your relationship with that person. How many of you have ever experienced the joy of being reconciled with someone in the church where you said something or they said something, you forgave them? How many of you experienced the closeness of a relationship after that forgiveness? After you've said sorry, oftentimes the relationship is that much closer, amen? After they've said sorry, after you've reconciled. You know, this is how we grow as Christians. Love covers. Be quick to forgive because Satan is quick to destroy, amen? Be quick to forgive. Lastly, in your notes, love serves. Well, here's where the rubber meets the road. Lastly, love serves. Let's read verse number 9 together. 1, 2. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You see, love is not just an action or just not words, should I say. You know, okay, I've said sorry. Yep, I've forgiven them. But you see, love is an action word. Charity is an action word. God says if you have truly forgiven them, you won't have a problem with serving them. Wow. I'll say sorry, but I'm not going to make them a cup of coffee and bring it to them. Forget about that. I'll say sorry, but I'm not going to cook a meal for them and invite them over to my house again. I'll say sorry. You see, so often our forgiveness is not forgiveness. So often our kind of love is not Christ's kind of love. You see, when we forgive someone, God says, I want you to treat them as if they have not wronged you before. I want you to exercise hospitality. The word hospitality means to serve others without grudging you. It is saying, I love you, I've forgiven you, I don't hold it against you any longer, and it's displayed when we serve one another. Action. Amen? How are you treating that person that wronged you? You've forgiven them, but how are you treating them today? Are you still holding something against them? Hospitality. Are you being just as kind to them as before, or even kinder, as before they hurt you? Hospitality. You see, charity is an action word. And our forgiveness will show itself to be true based on how we treat one another by our actions, not by our words. Anyone can say, I'm sorry. Is that right? Yeah. Absolutely. Everyone can say, I'm sorry. Anyone can say, I forgive you. Three words. But actions speak louder than words. That's what the Lord is saying. He said, if you've truly exercised my kind of love, it will show in your actions, in your hospitality. And if we don't show it, well, then what does that reveal? To use hospitality one to another without grudging. If we're not willing to show our love in action towards that person, then what does that reveal? It reveals we're still holding a grudge. That's right. And that's why many times as Christians we don't grow, we don't move forward in our faith, we struggle. Why? Because there are serious issues of unforgiveness in our heart that we are assuming, well, I've forgiven them, but what are we doing? We're still holding a grudge. Amen? We're still holding a something against them in our heart. And what is it that helps us to love them? Well, simply to remember how Christ loved us. How Christ loved us. Ephesians 4:32. There in your notes, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as, there's the key, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is what the Lord said we are to do for one another. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 4 quickly as we end, you know what this reminds us of, this letter? That people, doesn't matter what day they live in, are all the same. People are only people at best. Amen? That's the reality. People are only people at best. There will be offences. There will be disagreements. There will be times that we say things and do things that wrong one another. And by the way, if you've been wrong, you know what the loving thing to do is? Not to tell others about it, not to spread it, it's to cover it. How do we cover it? Well, we go to that person and we say, can I just share something with you? And lovingly and with the desire to forgive, amen, that's what the Lord is saying, we share that wrong with them and seek to be reconciled with them. That should be our goal. That should be our desire as Christians. Not to get revenge. That's not the Christian life. But to forgive. Why? For even, what does the Bible say? For God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. If you're saved, then these verses should speak to your heart this morning. Absolutely. If I come back to the cross and see what Jesus did for me, how much He loved me in my wretchedness, in my wickedness, in my perverseness, and He forgave me, then who am I to hold a grudge against someone who seeks my forgiveness? Who am I to hold a grudge against those who have wronged me? Who am I to say, I forgive you, but I won't treat you kindly any longer? God says, have fervent charity above all things. Love proves, covers, forgives, and serves. It's important. Absolutely. Doctrine is important, but love is also important. The two go together. Love. Love in the family of God. Well, let's aim to work on this more this week, amen? Work. And simply, let me encourage you, church family, the next time you are wronged or something happens that cause you to get upset, ask the hard question, what does the Lord want me to do in this situation? Not what do I feel like doing? What does the Lord want me to do? Amen? And that will cover a multitude of sins.